you broke up with a changeover or something, Peggy?
Okay, Jack, you're right. I got caught right in the middle of a site handover. Look on the right-hand side, stowage compartment, the forward lower corner under the LEC kit compartment.
Fantastic. You picked the one place I've never looked. Houston, Challenger.
Go ahead.
One quick thought about the gravimeter. I'm sure it's been mentioned, but I'll say it. During the CF squared, we asked about that bundle of wires that has contact with the gimbal. And when I deployed it, that bundle was, it still had contact with the gimbal, and everybody at the CF squared said that was okay, but you might think about it. I don't know what I could do to help if that is the problem, but that might be causing a problem here that wouldn't cause on Earth.
Okay, Jack, I'll make sure the experts hear that.
Corey, everything okay at home today?
Yeah, everything's fine here.
Well, thank you.
I'm not sure I copy your question precisely. Haven't talked to your home today at all.
Okay, don't worry about it. I just thought you might hurt. And if you hear it, Corey, just tell them they're missed.
Okay, I'll sure do that.
Gordy, has anybody heard from Tucson recently?
Check on that, Jack. Just a minute.
And Gordy, if you have any updates to the EDA-2 checklist, give me a yell.
Okay, the update I do have, I think the EVA checklist changes will just call you real time, but I do have one for the prep card.
Go ahead.
Okay, on the front side there, middle column, lower half, at 138.45, OPS Connect. Halfway down it says install purge valve and VGA red to red. Mark that LMP serial number 211, CDR 208. This is to maximize the OPS operation should you have to use it.
Okay, give me the numbers again, please.
LMP 211, CDR 208.
I take it those are serial numbers.
That's right. The serial numbers on the purge valves.
Okay, Challenger, this is Houston. Would you like to have a little update on the EVA plans?
Do you want me to take notes?
No, I don't think there are essentially any notes required. I'll make a few real-time call-ups to you, but I don't think there's anything you really have to write down.
Bob Parker is Capcom now.
Okay, Bob, I realize that things were getting a little hectic yesterday, but if we end up making any changes where I don't need to get a charge in my hand, that's a awfully good thing to call, because not only does it tie your heart, your hands out holding it, but it means that you don't get as many pictures or rover samples or anything else.
Roger, you guys are just ahead of us there. We were trying to get that up to you. Okay, no, I don't think there's anything here that really needs to be written down. I'll go through with you first, and we can talk about details and write in if you want to on any of them, but I don't think there's anything that really needs to be written in. The EBA, it's going to be essentially nominal, two minor exceptions. One is the, we've allowed about 5 minutes extra at LEM before leaving for the rover fender fix, and John will be talking to you about that in a minute. And the second big change is that we're also allowing 5 more minutes at the end of the EBA so that we can have extra time for dusting. And I suspect that if the rover fender fix works and we aren't getting as dirty as we did last night, then we may gain back that 5 minutes. We're also allowed, what we've done is we've taken the time here out of some of the tasks at Station 3 and Station 4. And along with the fact that we think you're a little bit further east than planned, and we're allowing 4 minutes additional driving time. But again, that's all real time, and if we're doing well on time, we can reinstitute all those tasks and get rid of the 5 minutes that we're allowing here, there, or elsewhere. So that's just sort of to keep in your thinking. There is the possibility we'll have some additional overhead at each stop, depending on what the rover battery temperatures are when you get out this morning. If they're high again, then we'll have to probably park at least on some of the stops, if not all, with the up-sun heading and dusting the battery covers and then opening them to let them cool. But again, that will depend upon what we find on the rover batteries when we get out this morning. The variations that we found on the surface of the South Massif, indicating the possibility of layering, I guess you saw those mostly with the binocular, and the observation of boulder tracks and the size of the Massif emphasizes the importance of sampling boulders that can be traced to sources at various elevations in the Massif. And I guess we should say that's hopefully. And we'll just have to see what happens when we get down to Station 2 on that. But if we see boulders with tracks, I'm sure you guys remember that they obviously will have a higher priority. Since we didn't get to Emery, and since we didn't really get to the rim of Steno itself, the question of sampling the actual subfloor is still somewhat ambiguous, although there's a large consensus opinion that says that we sampled the subfloor when we sampled that intermediate gabbro that we sampled yesterday in both the Alsip and Station 1. There is a possible alternative conclusion which says that the subfloor has not been sampled, but that these blocks that we sampled and the surface are both parts of a later flow. And in that line, we're still looking for specific observations which will help us distinguish between whether or not the dark mantle is a, whether the dark mantle is a separate unit from the intermediate gabbro that we're seeing, or whether it's the, stand by. Okay, whether or not the dark mantle is an entirely separate unit from the intermediate gabbro you were sampling yesterday, whether it just represents the top very well churned up layer of a flow that was later than the subfloor, if you see what I'm saying there. All of this says that we're very interested, of course,
right
now. All this says that we're very much more interested in Station 5, as you might expect, than we were before. And I guess for this reason, we'll be trying to keep the timeline a bit tighter than usual to guarantee we've got some time left over at Station 5. And we're also interested in moving Station 5 from its present location there in the southwest of Camelot over to the southeast or east, or some location where we have a feeling that we've got big boulders up on the rim. This would be so that we could sample hopefully some of the right material and some of the boulders together and get a better confirmation that the material from deep in the subfloor unit is this intermediate gabbro as opposed to just material from the upper part of the subfloor. It's just a matter of proving to ourselves whether or not the boulders we sampled yesterday are from deep within the subfloor, only the surface of the subfloor, or perhaps, as I said, the other alternative being that the intermediate gabbro is part of the dark mantle, and we're seeing a turned up regolith on top of it, sort of being the gaseous upper part of the flow. We've been broken down rather rapidly into the dark mantle. Okay, stand by a minute. Okay, to summarize that again, reading, I guess I got ahead of myself here in the little spiel I wrote up. At the present time, we have two working hypotheses for the dark mantle, the gabbro, and the gabbro relationships to each other. One, the crystalline rocks that we found, the gabbro, are an upper unit of the subfloor with their dark mantle cover unrelated to them in time. Key observations that they suggest here is stratigraphy at Camelot Station 5 and other deep craters, especially perhaps a trench in gabbro and the gabbro relationships to each other. One, the crystalline rocks that we found, the gabbro, are an upper unit of the subfloor with their dark mantle cover unrelated to them in time. Key observations that they suggest here is stratigraphy at Camelot Station 5 and other deep craters, especially perhaps a trench in sheltered spots which are unguarded and then plowed. For an older regolith underneath the dark mantle, if such a thing could be found. We don't think we found that yesterday. Or a look at the superposition relations between dark mantles and boulders, or the mantle, instances of the mantle on the boulders, or inversely, of small boulders on the mantle. The second working hypothesis is that the dark mantle is regolith derived from a vitreous vesicular flow tops of the crystalline rocks both beneath. And that again goes to say that perhaps the gabbro we sampled yesterday was indeed the late flow, and that what the regolith was derived from the vitreous vesicular flow tops, or what, as it were. Again, many of the same observations are called for. In particular, they'd be interested then in looking at the coarser fines, which they define as from a millimeter to 20 millimeters, for some sort of transitional lithologies and textures. In other words, what do the small walnut-sized rocks look like, if you can, in hand specimen? If I can get more specific in terms of EVA mechanics, let me say that we'll call out in real time the deletion of the task at Station 3 and 4 as they become necessary. And what we're planning on doing is deleting the trench in the base of the scarp at Station 3, and also deleting the radial sample on Shorty at Station 4. That's provisionally what we're planning on, and depending on how the time is going, we'll call that out in real time. We also have the experiments remain pretty much the same. We will deploy the charges at the same locations as we're planning in the checklist at the present time. We also don't, if we're planning further ahead, we don't anticipate any significant changes in EVA 3. The charge number 5, which we were going to deploy at Emory, will not be deployed during EVA 2, but we'll deploy it on EVA 3 out of Station 10. And what we're going to do there is when you take the 8-pounder and put it between the seats, we'll then have the 3-pounder left over, and we'd like to put that on one of the foot pads in the sun. That's probably either the minus Z or minus Y foot pad. And we'll leave it there in the sun until the start of EVA 3, in which case we'll put it in the rover underneath the LMP seat. And firmly, that looks okay. There is the probability that we're going to play the return to the outset game. And we're going to do this for a couple of reasons. One, we're going to go back and look at getting some more outset photos. I guess Gordy says you've got that. And that would probably be at the end of EVA, in fact, will certainly be, if it happens, at the end of EVA 3 when you go back to get the neutron flux probe. I might also say with regard to EVA 3 that obviously we're more interested in Station 10 than we were before. Another return to the ALSEP goodie that we're looking at, if we have the consumables today when we get back finishing Station 5, is that the lunar surface gravimeter has been unable to level itself over the night. They sent, you know, some thousand commands trying to get it straightened out. And they say it looks as though it's not level. And so we'd like Jack to go back with his practice hand on bubble levels and recheck that at the end of after Station 5 today if there's sufficient consumables. And we plan for Gene to just let Jack off and let him walk back to the LEM after he gets off and looks at that. And that's about everything we have, as I say in summary, the big changes are going to be extra time at the beginning, taking care of the fender extension, and the probability of extra time at the end. I will have to see how well the fender works and how things go. The probability of extra time at the end to allow for dusting. And the time spent on those particular activities will probably end up taken out of the task at Station 3 and Station 4. Over. Comments?
Okay, Bob, we copy all that. Obviously, you're going to have to catch us in real time on some of the details there on the charges and the task deletion. One question. Did you say we were going to delete the trench at Station 3?
Roger, the trench at the base of the scarp. In other words, some of the stuff that you would be doing while Gene was taking the double core.
What do you gain by that?
Well, I'll no comment on that, Jack.
If you haven't deleted Gene's task, then what am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to help Gene, I guess.
Well, but that's not the way we worked it, Bob. Let's play that one in real time.
Roger, that's why I said I'm not. There's no point in marking up the checklist on that, Jack. Now, let me hit you with one more thing concerning the battery temps. An initial reaction down here is that the battery temps were high on deployment because of particularly unfavorable heat soaking on the way out. And the Marshall people are hopeful that they'll be back to normal this morning. However, we're obviously anxious, as I'm sure you are, to get an early reading on the battery temps. That's number one. And number two, just for the off chance that the meter's not working, and I think we pretty much discount that because of the way the meter worked yesterday. But on the off chance the meter's not working, you might just lean over and see if the meter is reading zero before you punch in the circuit breaker, because that would give us at least a partial confirmation in that direction. There's not something wrong with the offset. So if they're reading, sitting there reading 30 or 40 degrees, then that probably says something about the offset. And beyond that,
yeah, that's
good. Go ahead.
I'll look at that, Bob, but the meter's indicated in terms of temperature change. I'll look and see if there's a bias on them at all.
Right. We again, also think that that's probably not too likely.
Bob, I think, based on what I saw yesterday, that the chances are pretty good that all the big blocks out here in the dark mantle area will be pretty much the gabbro. By the way, I looked at that with a handlens last night. I don't know that you got the report. And I'm back to saying that it's probably closer to 30-40% black displays. It's probably just a good gabbro, final Pharisee gabbro, and it apparently has a fair amount of ilmenite in it. There's some bright, shiny plates within the bug, and some dark minerals in the matrix that probably ilmenite. And one other additional possibility then is that the mantling we're seeing here is the is just dark, fine glass, darker than usual because of the iron and titanium in the rocks themselves. Also, the probability, I think, still has to be considered that you're dealing with a true mantle that has been guarded enough that it's, at least where we're seeing it now, in the first few tenths of centimeters, that it is unrecognizable as a mantling unit yet. The relationship to the large boulders is, I think, one right now of just filleting and a small amount of covering because of the local gardening process. We haven't seen any clearly mantling relationship between the dark mantle or the surface materials here and the large boulders.
Okay, copy that. We'll be anxious to see what else we find out today. And one last word for your interest. The Marshall people have decided to allow us to go to 140 degrees on the CVA with the batteries if necessary.